So today on Fit Chicks Chat, we have a super awesome and very special guest interview today with the amazing Summer Inanen. So we have been huge fans of Summer at Fit Chicks for a really long time for her work in helping women love their bodies, break the diet cycle, and really trying to bring a lot of awareness to body positivity and the importance of it. So just to give you guys an introduction to Summer before we get into this awesome interview with her, I just wanted to share with you her background, her bio, and how you can get in touch with her. Summer is the best-selling author of The Body Image Remix, Embrace Your Body and Unleash the Fierce, Confident Woman Within. She's also the creator of the 21-Step Body Image Remix, a life-changing 21-day program that helps women to build unabashed body confidence. She's also the creator of the flagship Rock Your Body online program dedicated to helping women break free of the societal standards and be unapologetically themselves. Summer is also the host of Fearless Rebel Radio, which is an amazing podcast dedicated to empowering women to live their lives on their own terms, where she's interviewed tons of awesome body image and anti-diet experts and activists, including Isabel Fox and Duke, Kelsey Miller, and Reagan Chastain. Summer's also been featured in tons of publications like The Huffington Post, Beautiful Magazine, as well as TV shows like Better Living Through Yoga and Dinner Party Wars, and was also a guest star on the talk show Daytime by Rogers TV. So with that, I'm really excited to introduce Summer Inanen.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. It is Laura Jackson, and today I am flying solo because Amanda, who is my usual co-host, is not with us, but we have an awesome special guest, which you just heard me give you her background and her bio. We have Summer Inanen with us today. Hey, Summer.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Laura.
Oh my God. I am so excited for you to be here. I've been like girl crushing on you for the last like 3 years. I stalk you on like Facebook. I love your posts. I love your emails, everything that you stand for, everything you represent. So I'm super pumped because I think you're going to really bring some awesome info and perspective to our chicks too.
Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. I really appreciate that.
Okay. So since I kind of already gave the rundown of, you know, your professional bio, I want to get a little more personal. So I would love for you to start off by telling us, you know, how you got into the wellness industry, or if that's what you consider the industry that you're in, and, you know, how you started on this path to do with helping women with self-love and body image and really breaking the diet rules.
Yeah. So, you know, my story is probably similar to a lot of other women who are listening in that, you know, looking back, I never really remember feeling good in my body or as myself. So I was a super self-conscious kid, and I was always like last place in gym class.
I feel that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, there were just, you know, certain points even in like my teenage years where like I didn't want to live because I hated myself so much. And I was teased for my body quite a bit by my older brother, who, you know, he was doing what older brothers do, which is to, you know, just torment their younger sister in the way that they find the most, hurtful. And, he teased me about my body. So, not that I blame him at all, but there were just certain influences in my life that really made me feel like there was something wrong with my body. And that in order for me to feel better about myself, I had to change my body. And that, grew into me entering into dieting and exercising. And over the years, I slowly evolved into a diet junkie and exercise addict.
So sorry to interrupt, but what age did that kind of start around?
So I remember like hating my body from a very, very young age, but I remember, like starting to like I would be in my bedroom on the floor, like doing like leg lifts and like sit-ups. I remember I did that. I think when I was around 12, I started to kind of do that. And then, the first time I started to play around with food was actually after this biology assignment that I had to do in grade 9. The teacher, part of the assignment was to track our macronutrients and our calories because we were learning about, I guess, the, you know, energy expenditure and macronutrients and stuff. But what that did was I looked at, you know, what I was eating. That was like the first time I remember thinking about like calories or macronutrients. And I remember at the time, like my mom was always a chronic dieter. She said to me, she was like, if you want to lose weight, you need to eat between 15 to 30 grams of fat. And so I remember thinking like, oh my God, I eat way too much fat. And so that's when I started to, like, I stopped eating like peanut butter sandwiches, you know, like that's when I started to sort of think about it a little bit more. Although it didn't really progress too much in high school because I was, I used to like really binge on stuff. That was kind of my thing because we were never allowed like sugar or processed food. So whenever I was out of the house, I would just like rebelliously like binge on everything. But it was really probably when I got to university that things started to kind of like spiral a little bit further down the rabbit hole where it became more disordered, especially as it relates to my relationship with exercise. And then later in my later 20s, I guess it was, that's when I discovered the paleo diet. And that's when I started doing CrossFit, which was probably about like 9 years ago now. They were the ones that introduced me to that. And I put it on this pedestal and I thought it could solve all of my problems. And I fell into this trap of really a disordered relationship with food as a result of kind of cutting out foods and becoming so obsessed with like understanding different foods and like what they do to our bodies. And I guess, you know, you could call it a little bit of an orthorexic type frame of mind, although I wouldn't say that it was, you know, I was never diagnosed and I wouldn't say that it was like a full blown eating disorder. It was just this mentality that, I was just very obsessed with food and it was always tied back to my body. Like I was just on this quest to like lose the weight once and for all that had occupied my mind since I was a kid. And, you know, I got inched to this point where I was, you know, heavily working out and really under eating. And I was at my thinnest and I still hated my body. And I definitely had body dysmorphia. I look back at the pictures and I'm like, wow, like I was thin. And I saw myself as a completely different person. Like that's not what I saw when I looked in the mirror.
Oh, I can totally relate to that.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. I think it happens to, you know, to a lot of women. And so, you know, that went on for like a few years and it got to the point where, my body just stopped responding. Like my body, I started to gain weight and, you know, it didn't matter what I did. Like my body was like gaining weight. So, and I had lost my period and I just wasn't feeling good. And there was a bunch of stress going on in my life. And so I went to see a naturopathic doctor about my hormones. And, you know, she was the one who said to me, like, you are, you know, you're exercising too much, you're not eating enough. And as a result, your hormones are the same as a postmenopausal woman. And that was my big wake up call because I was, at that time, like I was just finishing up I had started my nutrition coaching business and I honestly thought I was healthy. Like I honestly thought everything I was doing was normal and healthy, which is why, like I say, like, I don't, you know, I never had like a quote unquote eating disorder because I honestly thought what I was doing was normal because a lot of it was recommended by trainers and other professionals that I had gone to for help. And so that was my wake up call though, because I was like, wow, like maybe what I'm doing is not right. And I think the biggest wake up call for me was that I was more upset that I had to ease up on my workouts than I was about the fact that my hormones were so messed up and that, you know, she was genuinely concerned about my health if I kept going at this rate. you know, weight was always just my top priority. And that was just my mask for my desire for acceptance. And that really became crystal clear to me after that moment. And that's when I decided to end my career as a dieter and, you know, get rid of my scale and really focus on taking more of a health at every size approach. And
so like, I love that you're talking about this because I think so many people listening are going to be like, oh my God, that is me. So in that moment, did you really make the connection between your, you know, your need for self-acceptance and using diet as a mask, or were you still working through that? Like, or was it instantaneous, or were you just like, whoa, I just need to take care of my health first. And then that kind of came, or were they hand in hand?
No, I think what came first was like, I have a problem. Yeah. I was like, wow, I actually have a problem. And like, I was just a delusional to this problem. You know, like the way I was treating exercise and food was a problem, to the point that it had damaged my physical and emotional well-being. And, you know, the other pieces of it were slowly put together as I recovered, you know, like over the next few months when I started to really look at it and, started to, you know, like I read like Brené Brown stuff, and that was pretty life changing for me, because I remember, you know, reading about shame and, you know, perfectionism. And I was like, wow, like this is what's happening to me, you know, this desire to be like, this need for acceptance, this need for approval, and all of that trying to use my body to do that, like trying to use my appearance to do that. And as a result, I was using then food and exercise to try and control that. So, yeah.
No, it's because, you know, I've been on your podcast before and I talked about my struggle with an eating disorder and with bulimia and body image issues. And, you know, there is that point where you kind of do connect the dots where you're like, whoa, like I'm just tired of, what am I doing to myself? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But for some people, you know, for me, it was a 15-year journey. For some people, they've been doing this for 40 years and still aren't connecting the dots. So,
I mean, for me, it was just like, I got to this point where my health was like, it was, you know, it's kind of like my quote unquote rock bottom. And I think the other piece of it was, I just knew that I couldn't go the other way anymore, because like my health wasn't great. And, it wasn't working. Like nothing I did worked. Like I had exhausted everything. I had done everything to try and like lose weight, and nothing worked anymore. And so I knew that, you know, that there just wasn't another way. So I was like, either I'm going to just like be miserable here and keep damaging myself physically, or I can choose to work on my emotional well-being and make the best of, like, my body is going to do what it's going to do. And I can just choose to create a life that's full of happiness and confidence, and detach that from my body size, you know? And so that was, I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like, I was like, all right, I have to kind of go down this road. And it was messy. Like, it wasn't like, all right, it's just going to be black and white, I'm never going to diet again. Like, certainly I fell down the rabbit hole several times, but I just knew that I had to stay on this path, because there was just like, there was no turning back on it.
Now, did you find that, because at that point too, I mean, even with your career was at that point was surrounded by, you were a nutritionist, you were also, you know, you used to have a different podcast that was paleo focused, right?
No, I didn't have a podcast, but my blog,
yes.
Yeah, like my Sorry. Business was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like so now suddenly you're like, whoa, I'm going through this whole trend. Like, how did that then get you into where you are now? Or like, what was that transition like to let go of?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it all kind of unfolded like as I transformed, you know, because I was still trying to like, I felt like I was grappling with two worlds and trying to make them both work and trying to kind of justify everything together. And I think that, you know, what I was trying to do initially was like, all right, well, if I can, accept my body, but I can still do, you know, like it was kind of blended. I was sort of like in two different worlds. And then as I started to really see like how much, what I was doing was under the guise of like quote unquote diet culture, which is, you know, like this, like the philosophy that, we, you know, that, that like our bodies kind of define who we are, and that our body size dictates our worth, and that, you know, we're not good enough unless we're like trying to be thinner and restricting our food and, you know, all that bullshit that like society feeds us. As I started to like become more aware of that in my surroundings, and like I evolved my business to step further and further away from diet culture. Like I stepped further and further away from helping clients in that capacity. And I started to use more of like an intuitive eating, a health at every size approach. And then, you know, ultimately, like I like body image had always kind of been like threaded through my business. And it just became like more and more prominent. And, you know, that's when I started to really realize like that was my purpose. That's what I really wanted to focus on. And, you know, I became a life coach, and that's where all of my focus is now. I don't know if that answers your question exactly. It was kind of messy. It was kind of overlapped. It was kind of like, all right, people are still coming to see me for weight loss, but like I'm uncomfortable helping them with that. So I'm trying to change them with my new philosophy, but it's not really working. So as I started to transition, then I just started to kind of like eliminate like working with people in a certain capacity and started to just share my new philosophy as I became more comfortable in it, you know, because I was still unsure of it and I was still learning. And so it wasn't until I was kind of confident and sure of it myself that it really was more of like a solid change in that direction from a business perspective.
Well, that's why I love that you just even said that, because I know, you know, even for us, we run a certification course called the Fitness and Nutrition Expert Program, and we focus on, you know, all levels of, you know, holistic fitness, being a holistic fitness professional. So focusing on, you know, the physical side, but also the emotional side. And that's one of the questions and the things I get the most from our students is about, you know, I don't look the part. Like I'm not fit enough yet that I don't feel like I can share my knowledge with someone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not the way it is. You know, you're going through your own journey too. It doesn't mean you can't help people through theirs as you figure out, you know what I mean? Like what's working for you and what's authentic to you and how you want to approach fitness and health and nutrition and body image.
Yeah. And I will just say that, like, I think there's a huge need for people in the fitness industry who look like I don't want to say quote unquote normal, but like we need greater diversity of body types in the fitness industry, you know, because this is the thing, is that we've been brainwashed this bullshit that if you're like quote unquote fit, you look a certain way. That's not true. You can be fit and you can be fat. You can be fit and you can be thin. Like everybody's body type is totally different. Fitness is defined by your actual activities and behaviors, not by the outcome, not by your appearance. And I think like more and more people are starting to recognize that. I get that it's hard. Like I get that that's really hard, but I think that there is a need for that. And I think there is a demand for that. At least like I've heard lots of women in my communities ask for trainers who aren't just constantly talking about weight or their weight, or who don't look like quote unquote, like typical fitness, like who don't have, you know, a six pack abs or anything like that. But it's hard when your identity is wrapped up in it. Like my identity was so wrapped up in like being like the health and fitness girl, and, you know, letting go of that identity, I really had to figure out like, who am I now? Like who am I? And, you know, and now that like my body doesn't define who I am, or the way that I eat and work out doesn't define who I am.
So saying that, like, how did you, like, what are some ways that you, or you could give to somebody else that would help them to start like breaking this cycle?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it's the biggest thing is to, you know, recognize dieting culture. So dieting culture being this, you know, environment that we live in that cultivates shame and feelings of not good enoughness in women. So like, what are you taking in? What are you digesting that is contributing to your feelings of not feeling good enough? For example, stepping on a scale, magazines and social media that promote this idea that certain bodies are better than other bodies.
Oh, it drives me insane. Like even with the fitness magazines, I'm like, this is not how this person is walking around every single day. Like they have dieted down and like completely like water manipulated, all these things to be on the cover of this magazine. And then they're saying, oh, look like this in 10 days. And I'm like,
yeah,
can we please just stop this bullshit? Like it's,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like start to be really critical of like, what's in my environment that's making me feel like shit, you know, like it's becomes really obvious, like clothes in my closet that don't fit anymore, that are constantly like it irritating me and making me feel bad about my current body, stepping on the scale, like, the magazines, social media, like looking at like other people, like Fitspo, all that stuff. Like if something's not making you feel good about yourself, get rid of it. Like that's something that's contributing to you feeling not good enough. I mean, that's like a huge first step, is to get rid of all the different like quote unquote weapons of control and things that feed your negative thoughts.
I love that.
And then, you know, getting rid of those things is one thing, but then adding things, you want to add stuff in that actually feeds positive thoughts. So, you know, reading books that are about, you know, body positivity or health at every size, following people on the internet, like filling your social media up with body positive individuals and images of women that show diverse bodies. You know, when we're exposed to just one type of body, we start to measure ourselves up against that. And it feeds this belief that like we should quote unquote look a certain way, and that we're not good enough unless we do look a certain way. So you get to change that. You get to change what you're intaking. Bodies don't look like that. That's 2% of the population that actually looks like that. So start to fill up your social media with body positive people that show a diverse range of body sizes, and smash the beliefs that you've been holding on to that aren't contributing to you. You know, like if you believe that like you have to look a certain way to be fit, like challenge yourself, go and find a bunch of fat fit people on the internet. And I use the word fat because like, it's just a descriptor for our body size. I'm not using it in the way that like society has told us to use it, which is, you know, in a shameful way. So I use that word as like a neutral way to describe a body type. So just for anyone who's listening, who's like, oh my God, why is she using that word? Words like overweight and obesity are based on like a bullshit BMI system. So and they have a lot of connotations to disease. Whereas like, if we just look at someone, we can describe someone as like either being like short, tall, thin, fat, you know, they're just neutral descriptors. So that's why I use that word.
But no, and I'm happy you did. Cause I think it's a word that, again, like you're saying, it's got so much emotion that's tied to it, and it's just a word.
Yeah.
Like you are, you know, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but I remember this one like little internet post I saw, and it was saying how like something about, you have fingernails, you have fat, you are not your fingernails, or something like, it was something along the lines of like, we've put this emotional attachment and belief system that goes along with the word fat, but we don't attach that to anything else like hair or fingernails or whatever. Like it's
really
a negative connotation.
But it's okay to say I'm fat. Like that's the thing. Like, you know, like it's okay to say that, cause it's like, I'm short, like I'm, you know, and so that's something that I like, you know, encourage women, this is, you know, going a little bit deeper, but this is something I encourage my women that I work with to do, is to like really, you know, neutralize that word. And if you do fit that description, like to reclaim that, to take your power back. Like someone has taken your power away by associating it with like these shameful stereotypes. And so, you know, for me, like I'm a medium sized person, so I don't refer to myself in that way, but I use it as a descriptor when I'm talking about, you know, like a group of individuals who have been discriminated against or oppressed, like which are fat people, or just if I'm talking about a range of body sizes, because it's important to just like neutralize those things within my own vocabulary, because that was such a shameful word for me, because that's the word that was like, I was told my whole life. And so it was, you know, I associated it with being like unlovable, unhappy, not good enough. And so for me, like part of me taking my power back was like just neutralizing it. Like fat is just fat, you know, like food is just food, fat is just fat. Like there, one does not make you morally superior than another. And, you know, because, and this again is going a little bit deeper, but body image issues really stem from like fat phobic beliefs as well. And so, but to back to your point of like what people can do is like adding in things like body positive things, which is really easy to find nowadays. You know, like there's so many different bloggers, there's so many different books and podcasts. And so once you start to like open your mind to this other way of thinking, and it's like a big paradigm shift initially, which is probably is a lot of stuff that I'm saying is probably a big paradigm shift for people listening, and they might be like, oh my god, what the hell is this girl talking about, like I'm scared, which is sometimes what I've heard from women who are new to my work who come to my website, and they're like, who the hell is this crazy chick?
No, but I think because you I love your stuff, but I think because people, it's like that is how, you know, we get so attached to these beliefs, and it's like a blanket, like it makes us feel comfortable because it's what we know. And when we start to challenge those beliefs and start to step outside and say like, you know, this doesn't feel right to me, you always want to go back to what you're comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like I always talk about even like in my classes and stuff with how funny it is with women. Like if I said to you, oh my God, I'm fat and I'm so disgusting and like no one will ever love me, you'll be like, oh my God, no, you're not. You're beautiful and you're fit and someone will love you, kind of thing. If I came to you though and said, oh my God, I am one hot piece of tail. Like, God, I sound like such a grandma saying that. But you know what I mean? If I'm like, I love my body, like I am fierce. So many women, they don't know how to respond to that. They would be like, whoa, she's a little self-conscious, like uppity. She thinks she's the bomb. And
yes.
Celebrating and saying, you know what? Yeah, you are. Like, we know how to react when you're being self-loathing. We don't know how to react when you're being self-loving, and there needs to be a shift.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, it's so true. I think, and that's because we've been told that like it's, you know, you're not good enough. And it's so for a woman to say like, yes, I am good enough, or yes, I do like myself, or, you know, even just, I feel neutral about myself, which is a good place to start. It's a radical act, you know, like it really is. It's a radical act in our society to say, I'm okay with who I am and I'm not going to change that or let you tell me who I should be. And so I think that, you know, if, like, I mean, for me, I really do channel that rebellious energy. That's always been like something that that lights a fire inside of me.
You're a wildcat and I like it.
Yeah. And I now use it for good instead of evil. you know, if you can think about it that way and use that to just be like, all right, I'm going to be a bit of a trailblazer here. I'm going to be rebellious. Like, I'm going to say like, screw you society. I'm going to be who I am. That's, you know, a lot of people don't know how to handle that, 'cause they're like, whoa, that's not normally accepted. So it is kind of counterculture to be like that. But I think that, you know, counterculture, every big thing starts out as counterculture and then it becomes more mainstream. And so my hope is that it does start to become more mainstream for a woman to be okay with who she is.
And I mean,
and to praise herself.
Yes. And each other. And I think, you know, it starts always with self-love, but also celebrating each other, because I think a lot of this, it's become a poison that gets spread amongst, you know, your group. Like, you kind of end up becoming this group that ends up, you know, you feed into it for each other, like the negativity or the body shaming. So when one person starts to step up and say like, I'm not going to do this anymore, like I'm not negative, I'm not going to do any more negative self-talk, like I don't buy this bullshit, then, you know, the whole group kind of has to shift too. So
yeah. And I think actually, you know, sometimes it's easier to start by celebrating other people than celebrating ourselves.
Completely.
And I actually think that that's a good place for people to start if it's like, because it can be really uncomfortable to celebrate yourself. So if you start by celebrating other women, other people, it becomes easier to celebrate yourself as well, you know, but body positivity is just about this belief that all bodies are good bodies and all bodies are worthy of love and respect. And it's like, how can you go wrong with that philosophy? Like, you really can't.
So that's where I want to bring up the question to you too, because this is the one thing I know with the body positivity movement that is getting like a lot of backlash, is that, you know, okay, people are saying, well, just say if we're saying someone who's fat, they're like, oh, well, you know, she's so body positive, loving herself, but she's so unhealthy. Like, she's probably pre-diabetic and like, But so trying to find that balance in between being like, I love myself. I'm not going to shame foods. I'm going to, you know, not attach emotions to food, but I'm still going to live healthy. Like, how do you find that balance between the two?
Yeah. Well, I think first, like, one, being healthy is not an obligation, or it doesn't, and it doesn't make you a better person. Like, it's not a sign of moral superiority. That's the problem in our culture, is that healthism, like this belief that if you're healthier, you're a better person. That, I mean, we need to smash that. Number one is just that, you know, your health is your choice, and it's, you're not obligated to be healthy. Like, that's your prerogative. It's your body. It's your business. It's your health. It's your business. So that's like number one. So like, quote unquote, concern trolling, like, oh my God, like they must be so unhealthy. Like, you know, if you really care about somebody's health, like you're not just going to sit back and like armchair judge them. Like, you know, you might just try and be a good friend to them and support them with whatever they want. But if somebody doesn't want to, like, somebody's entitled to make the choices they want to make. Like, somebody wants to smoke cigarettes, like, they can smoke cigarettes. If they want help quitting from you, then you can step in and support them. But, you know,
oh, completely. I mean, I used to love smoking.
Yeah,
cigarettes.
You know, it's just like,
I loved cigarettes before.
I have to address that, because I think there's just automatically people just think like health is an obligation, and it's not. Two is that there's just so much misinformation out there about what makes somebody quote unquote healthy. And it's like, body size does not dictate our health. You know, like a lot of our body size is out of our control. And a lot of things like chronic dieting actually increase our body size permanently.
Oh, completely.
And so there's a lot of things that like are out of our control. And our health is actually, you know, it's physical, it's emotional. It's not just like the way that we, it's not the way we look, but it's not just physical. It's not just like the fact that you exercise or eat. It's like, you know, how you're looking after yourself just emotionally. And so there's that too. And then the other piece of this is, which I think was like your actual question, which maybe I'm like,
don't worry, I always go like spin around in circles, talking about eight different things.
but about like, balancing, you know, nutrition, I think it was like, how do you actually balance like nutrition and health, without getting caught in like the diet cycle? I think that's what
And how, you know, because a lot of people, they want to be body positive, but then they still are like, you know, then these orthorexic, and for anyone who doesn't know what orthorexic is, it's basically just an obsession with healthy foods. Like foods are labeled clean and unclean, and you get really obsessed with eating clean foods. So how does somebody who is trying to be body positive also try to, you know, I don't know if the word is balance health, but yeah, like break the diet cycle around eating healthy?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where everybody is. Like if somebody is orthorexic or they have a disordered relationship with food, then they really kind of need to go through the phase where the pendulum swings the other way and they give themselves full permission to just eat the things they want when they want them. Like that's a necessary first step to kind of like bring things back into balance. But if somebody has a healthy relationship with food and they want to approach it from like a place of body positivity or, you know, a loving place, I mean, it's really about approaching it from a loving state of mind, like from a self-care state of mind. So, you know, when I work with women, I just tell them like, take weight out of it, because weight is not necessarily in your control. I mean, sometimes it's a side effect of different choices, but sometimes it's not. And so if we can take that out as a barometer of our quote unquote success and just focus on our behaviors instead, like if you want to move more, then, you know, move more and think about it from a place from like more of a loving place versus a punishing place. So like, what actually makes you feel good? What feels fun? And I use the word movement instead of exercise, because exercise, I think has a lot of, at least for me, like very much like, I have like diet PTSD with words like that. So,
yeah, you know, so it's becomes like, a lot of people see it as a punishment, and that's part of my work, like that we do at FitChix, is trying to shift that idea around it and have it be like, oh, more like, okay, you're going to boot camp because you're part of a community and you're part of, you know what I mean? Like exactly. You're moving and it's exercise and it's good for you. Like,
yeah. And focus on like what your body can do versus how it looks. I mean, I'm honestly like, I'm so much fitter than I was when I was over exercising and at my thinnest, and at my, at when I looked the fittest, I'm not nearly as fit as I was then. So, you know, like for me, like it's, if I want to increase my endurance, I work on increasing my endurance. I don't work on like trying to lose weight to get to increase my endurance. And like, it's worked. Like I, you know, and I take expectations out of it. So it's like, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it till it feels good. And if I don't feel like doing it, that's okay. Like I'll take a rest day. Like that's, you know, just, it's a more gentle, fluid ebb and flow approach versus being like, all right, I'm doing this, I'm going to stick with it, and this is what I'm doing. And then from a food perspective, you know, and same thing with movement, I always just think about like adding things instead of taking things away. You know, like what can you add? Like what does your body need versus like, let's take all these things away. Because when you can focus on adding things and adding things that you like and that your body actually is craving, it makes it so much easier to balance health without it becoming this crazy, like restrictive, you know, self-loathing place of where you think you failed. Like just add stuff. So much easier. So much easier.
Oh yeah. And I also, I love that. I love that way of thinking. Cause I'm the same. I like, I always try to, cause as soon as you put a negative connotation on it, like it just becomes you're fighting yourself and you're fighting something. So it just becomes a struggle. And with, in struggle, like someone will always end up losing, which is usually your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like, I always think about it in the sense of like, even for food as well. Like I try to focus, especially coming from an eating disorder background, is I just try to think about what's going to nourish my body the best. Like I'm not like, oh, I have to eat broccoli because it's a low, you know, high fiber, low impact carb. I'm like, oh, I should eat some broccoli because, you know, it's full of nutrients and I know I've got a lot of energy after I eat it, you know? So I just try to shift the way I'm like, what's going to feel the best?
And then I focus on the way things make me feel. And like, sometimes that's ice cream, you know, like to me, nourishment is spiritual, emotional, and physical. And like, I could argue that, you know, kale is unhealthy if you're eating it because you hate yourself and you're like force feeding yourself to eat it, like
completely
probably not healthy. Conversely, like I could argue that McDonald's is healthy if you're starving and there's no other food options available and you just need to eat, or you are with your kids and you're having an amazing time, like just hanging out with your family and you're eating McDonald's. Like that, if that's making you happy, like that I could argue that that's healthy as well. Like health is such a gray area, you know, it's not defined black and white. Like I think it's really an individual experience and it's something that you get to figure out for yourself and just decide like, this is what feels good for me in this moment. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to always feel good for you in that moment, but, you know, just using that as more of your guiding post versus a set of rules or a set of shoulds is so much better. Like in terms of creating a healthy relationship with food and movement that, is not tied to, like an outcome that's like necessarily, that's kind of out of our control anyways, like our weight.
Well, and I also think in addition to that, like it's such, because I've gone through a lot of therapy and addressing, because obviously like my eating disorder was a reaction to something else that was going on inside of me. It was my coping mechanism. You know what I mean? So like being able to actually to have an emotional outlet to deal with things instead of focusing on the food and the exercise and things like that. Like, I think in fitness and nutrition, like in this whole industry, and that's why I love your work, because I think it's so important to talk about the self-love part. And I think it's so important to talk about the emotional part of wellness, because it's so overlooked because it doesn't sell, you know, like people, it's not sexy to be like, okay, you know, we're going to go through a process of, you know, making you love yourself. People are like, no, I want the pills that I lose 10 pounds in 5 days, you know?
Yes, I know. And, you know, that's what we've been told. Like that's, and so it's, you know, I don't fault people for thinking that way, or and I'm not judging people for thinking that way, but if you look at our culture, like that's what we've been told. And so, but we get to change that, you know, if that's not working for us, you know, it's oppressive to women, basically. Like it's a way to strip away a woman's independence. Like it's very disempowering to think that, you know, your body size is going to control your destiny. That takes away our power. And so we get to choose to take it back.
So if you were going to give some advice then, just say to, you know, a woman, obviously she's going through her own transformation of, you know, body acceptance and she has a daughter, like what would you recommend for her to do to make sure that this doesn't perpetrate like in her family as well as her daughter grows up? Because even listening to your story at the beginning, it was funny because when you were saying you were 12 years old, you know, doing the leg lifts, I'm like, oh my God, I went on my first diet at like in between 12, 13. And same thing, I would pinch my stomach like every day to be how much I could pinch. Mm-hmm. And just starting those types of behaviors from such a young age. And that's such a pivotal age as you're forming your self-esteem and things like that. So if you were going to give some advice to a woman then, you know, who had a daughter, what would that be?
Yeah. So, I mean, first I have to caveat and say, I don't have kids. So I always like, it's easier for me to sit back here and be like, do this. I don't have children, but I have a lot of clients with kids and I've, you know, talked to a lot of coaches that specialize a little more in this area as well. And I think, I mean, the biggest thing is really role modeling. So, you know, your kids pick up on what they see you doing. So I think it's fair that if you're transitioning like over or you're like learning these new beliefs or these new things, like just be open and talk about that with your kids, but just role model the behaviors that you want your children to pick up. So for example, you know, looking at food more neutrally instead of like this food is good or this food is bad, like just talking about making your kids make that connection. Like, how does this food make you feel? Like, how do you feel after you eat the big, you know, spaghetti dinner versus like, how do you feel when, you know, you eat, you know, more vegetables or something, like just things like that, like helping them to become more intuitive. Like kids are born as intuitive eaters and we often like strip that away from them. But, also from like a body image perspective, you know, like obviously watch the way that you speak about yourself in front of your kids. Like if you can model body positivity to your kids in terms of you treating yourself with kindness, you treating yourself with respect, you treating yourself with compassion, like that's what they're going to pick up on. You know, if you sit there and you're like, oh, I'm so fat, or, you know, like you're looking at yourself in the mirror, you're weighing yourself in the scale, like your kids are going to pick up on that and start to absorb like this idea that like, you know, their body size dictates their happiness and their worth, which, you know, we want to try and change. And then, you know, exposing them to body positivity, like body diversity as well, like talking about sitting down with them if they're watching TV and being like, you know, not all women look like that. Like, you know, other women look like this, like take them to, you know, a public pool and just, you know, let them see like other body sizes and really start to reinforce the philosophy that like all bodies are good bodies. So if you hear them shaming another kid's body or you hear somebody judging somebody else's body, you know, use that as a teaching moment where you can say, you know, like, no, all bodies are good bodies. Like just because that person's body looks that way doesn't mean anything. It just, you know, it just means that's the way their body looks. And trying to reinforce those messages with your kids.
Well, and I know even, I mean, and we're using daughters as kind of the example, but I think this is, you know, there's been such a shift that there's so many men now who are dealing with the same body image issues as women are, but they get less support.
Yes.
But, you know, we are kind of focusing just a little bit more like women is what this podcast and kind of our whole business is about, but we don't want to forget the roosters too.
I mean, it affects men more and more, and same, I think it's becoming more of an issue with men. And I think again, like pointing out like unrealistic body types and you know, like look at how these magazines are trying to sell you this idea that you're not good enough, and like they're profiting off of that. Like that's, you know, there's a really good movie called Misrepresentation that I recommend like all parents to watch with their kids, which I don't know if there's a certain age appropriateness to it. Probably maybe the child should be like 10 or something, or I don't know. You'd have to watch it first. I can't really remember that, but, really, really good, you know, movie, that documentary on Netflix that just shows, you know, how, what's like the objectification of women in the media and, you know, how that influences the way that, that women and girls feel about themselves. And I think that that's like getting your kids like aware of it is the first step, and educating them on it and teaching them the beliefs that you want to reinforce with them.
And I love that. Like, I think that by even you sharing this, and like, you know, even if one person listening is like, okay, well, I need to be more aware of the way I speak in front of my kids. Like, I don't have kids either. So for me, you know, I'm not coming from a parenting standpoint, but I do have twin nieces who are 9 years old. And I know with them, even I try not to always be like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Like,
yes,
little
yes.
girls, they're always saying these words about what you look like, or like, oh my gosh, she's so skinny. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, you're so smart. You're so, you know, you're so strong. You're so, like, I try to use words
yes.
that to me are more based on performance, or like, you know, they're awesome attributes that aren't physical, because it starts so young.
Yes. The number of women that I work with that like all they were ever told when they were kids is you're so pretty. Like, so they grow up thinking like, who am I without my appearance?
Yeah.
Like, and when you start to age, or your body just changes, like that becomes, you know, kind of frightening for them, because they don't know who they are, because they've been just told that they're pretty. Like, you're the pretty girl, like you're the thin girl, you're the pretty girl, like their whole life. And so they don't have any other worth outside of that. And so I think it's so important to, you know, give compliments on people's efforts, versus, you know, the exterior and other things, instead of just like, oh, you're so cute, or oh, you're so beautiful. Like, I think that, you know, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do that and that you shouldn't say that at all, but I think it's, you know, really being careful not to make that the most important attribute and make it much lower on the totem pole of things that they can be worthy of in themselves.
Well, and staying on that too, like, I mean, I think the body positive movement is just like, it's to me, maybe this is not, or maybe I'm just more aware of it, but over the last few years has really kind of blown up. And I don't know if it's more with, you know, social media, with so many platforms, and there's more of a place for people to talk about it, but it just seems like so many women are fed up. Like, mm-hmm. there is that shift, because people are, they just had enough, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of the objectification and the constantly, like, I don't want to see, you know, one, like, any more skinny, tall, blonde, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but just when it was, everything looked exactly the same, like, people are like, I want diversity. And we're seeing that in different, you know, magazine covers, like, so many more athletes, like female athletes being celebrated for their athletic bodies, as opposed to just being like curvy bodies, mm-hmm. You know, plus size models, like, and things like that. But what do you think, I mean, you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you think kind of the direction of that is going to go into? Like,
I think that I think that the internet has been a major blessing in this, because I think without the internet, we would still be a victim of what the mass media outlets such as television and publishing. So the internet has given us this platform to have a voice and to grow it. And so I think it will continue to, grow, but, you know, with any big paradigm shift, there always seems to be two major opposing forces that grow against each other. And so, you know, I'd love to speak about this like as if it's going to have a fairy tale ending, but I do think that it's going to be an uphill battle to really create the change that we want to see. Fat phobia is still a very acceptable form of discrimination that occurs, you know, in the workplace, in the medical community, it's just in the media, on the internet, like, and so, that's going to take a while to really shift. Like, it's a big change that needs to happen. But I think that, you know, the more that we contribute to it, the more women will hopefully get on, and men will get on board with it, and it will continue to grow. I think that, you know, there's a lot of businesses that are co-opting body positivity for profit. So you see a lot of companies like Special K and Dove that are, you know, Special K is you know, built, like their whole brand was built on, you know, losing weight,
and yeah.
like, which is, you know, like it basically was like one of the founders of diet culture. And so, but now they're co-opting body positivity for their marketing.
Well, I do see that shift. I feel like it's, yeah. like, it's the same thing with like organics, right? Like
yeah.
are coming out and then everyone's like greenwashing and saying like they're organic or
yes.
one ingredient's organic because they just want to sell more. And it's just like, I'm really, and maybe again, cause I'm focused on it, but I just am like, holy crap. It seems like everyone's on this body positivity.
Yes.
I'm like, and they're pushing like, at the yeah. same time, they're feeding into these insecurities, like their marketing still isn't. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Yes, exactly. So I think, but you know what? I would rather that those advertisements be what's on the air. And I would rather that at least start to like open someone's mind and get them into it. Even if it's like, that's the kind of the gateway drug to like full actual like body positivity.
Completely.
No, I'd rather that than what they had before. Like, do I think they could do better? Yeah, absolutely. But you know, can I appreciate like the progress that has happened? Yes, absolutely. And so I think like, you know, we're chipping away at it and, you know, the ground is starting to shift and hopefully it will become more rapid and shift even further. But, you know, what I'm doing, like what we're doing is still very countercultural. It's still yeah. extremely countercultural. And I live in a body positive bubble, you know, like that's where a lot of my time is spent, obviously, you know, because my business and like my social media feed is like that. And I surround myself with people that are like that. But when I go out into like the quote unquote real world, like I'm like, okay, no, like I'm still the freak that's like totally doing things differently.
Well, I feel like that's exactly how I feel too. When Amanda and I go to like a fitness conference and I'm just like, you know, I'm the same, like I'm in this world of like holistic fitness and health and, you know, really focusing on balancing the emotional and the physical. And then I'm like, everyone's like tanned orange and drinking, you know, chemically protein shakes and just like doing crunches in the corner. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah,
it's a yeah. very interesting world. But I mean, that being said, then what are some of your favorite resources? You're saying, you know, you're kind of in that body positivity bubble. In addition to like you, who else are people that you like to follow or who are really, you know, spreading the message the way that you think is really valuable?
Oh my God, where do I even begin?
There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, you know, one of the books that I encourage most women to read is Health at Every Size by Linda Bacon, because that dispels a lot of the myths that we've been fed about dieting and weight loss and health. And it's just, it's like, it, you know, her work is brilliant and she's like a thought leader in that regard. And so that's one. There's another book called When Women Stop Hating Their Bodies by Jane Hirschman and Carol Munter, which was one of the books that like really, that was probably one of the life changing books for me. Like I was like, whoa, I was like, what? Like everything was so like, I was just, it was a complete paradigm shift, but it was, that's where a lot of my initial kind of body image and body acceptance information came from. And so that's like an old school book, but it's still fantastic. There's a more recent book called Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls by Jess Baker. And that book actually encompasses a lot of the other books in a more like succinct and way. Like it covers a lot in one book. And I think it's a really good intro for body positivity and for somebody. So I love Jess Baker's book. She has an incredible TED Talk. If you just Google TED Talk, Jess Baker, like that will come up. So other people I love to follow, Reagan Chastain is a fat activist that, you know, will probably blow your mind a little bit. It'll be a big paradigm shift if you're new to that type of thing, but I subscribe to her emails. She's incredible. And that really like get, you know, she speaks a lot about like fat phobia and, you know, how that relates to disorder eating and body image and all that stuff. And so reading her stuff really like helps you to see like, oh my God, this is actually happening in our culture. Like this is a normalized behavior and this is how it's hurting people. Virgie Tovar is another fat activist that's just like brilliant. And she writes for various blogs. She's been on different podcasts. She has her own blog. She has her own program. She's has the most amazing fashion I've ever seen. So you follow her on Instagram and like
check her out.
She's just killing it at life. Like she's just one of those people that's just like out there living out loud, like, and trying to, and she's obviously an activist too, but she's just brilliant. Oh my God, there's so many. I have like a whole list on my website too. You know, tons of other like, you know, plus size models or body positive people like on Instagram, like, F Your Beauty Standards is a really good account to follow. And then they generally like show other people. You know, I've got a lot of friends in the scene, like, Sarah Vance and like Isabel Fox and Duke and Kyla Prinz, like all of those people have blogs, and websites and social media accounts. Anastasia Amore is another one. I'm going to like miss a whole bunch of people that are like my friends that I need to give shout outs to.
No, well, I will definitely link in the show notes for this too, to your,
you know what you can do. Yeah. You know what you can do is I can actually, if you go to my website, there's a tab that says popular, and on there is, I have a list of like my favorite books and people to follow. Awesome. And, also, I have a free Facebook community, which is called Break the Rules with Summer Inanen. And if you go in there, like I have a file in there with like a huge list of people you can follow, people I recommend following on social media and Instagram. So I've named a few, but there are so many more, which is fantastic to see that many, and the word getting out there, and like just, yeah, just, it's awesome to be able to help other women and help them see that like you don't have to not feel like you're not good enough. Like you don't need to look a certain way to be happy or healthy or confident. Like you get to choose that for yourself, and you get to have that at whatever size your body is, which is pretty amazing.
And I love that. And before I ask my final question, So how could people get in touch with you, and what do you have upcoming? So if people wanted to work with you, or they want to check out your stuff, or they want, I saw you have an upcoming retreat, which looks amazing.
Oh yeah. So I have so many things. I think, you know, a really good place for people to start is I have a free 10-day body confidence makeover on my website. That's a really good introduction to my work. It's a really good thing to do if you're like, all right, I want to explore, just, you know, even be just like body positive curious. And start to see like what that's all about.
Sounds so dirty, body positive. I'm coming over to check out your stuff.
Bopo curious. You know, there's a funny story around that too, because I think, but so like Bopo is kind of like the abbreviated form of body positivity. So like we say, like in our community, like we say like Bopo, but I think if you actually Google Bopo, like Urban Dictionary, there's like a really dirty, like it actually means something else in Urban Dictionary. It's like hilarious. Anyways, so when I say it, I mean body positivity. You know, my podcast is called Fearless Rebel Radio, which is another really good resource and a place for people to start. I have, in terms of actually like working with me, I have a program called the 21 Step Body Image Remix, which is a 21-day do-it-yourself program, which gives you 21 different steps to take to improve your body image and feel more comfortable in your skin. My private coaching, so I am opening my private coaching in August to take new clients for 4 months, for my 4 months to Love Your Body program. And that information is also on my website. And then two more things. I have a book on Amazon called Body Image Remix, which is a short read, but it's my book. So that's another really good place to start. And then, last but not least, I have a retreat, which you mentioned. And so that's happening in May of 2017 in San Diego. I'm co-hosting that with Sarah Vance, who's also a friend and colleague. And, you can find more details for that at reclaimretreat.com. So I'm realizing I've listed like 10 things.
But all of that is available at summerinnan.com. And I'll link to it as well. So anyone.
And you can also just go to thebodyimagecoach.com because that redirects you to my website.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So if somebody's like listening to this and they're like, how do you spell this chick's name?
I know you have such I love your name. It, like, to me, it flows so well. But then I'm like, the first time I wrote it down, I was like, how many N's are in this? I'm like, no. And I really am thankful and grateful that you could join us today and have this conversation, because out of anything in life, whether it be to do with body positivity or health, fitness, anything in life, I think begins with a mindset shift. And I think a lot of people don't even know how to start that process. So I'm going to end it with one question that I have for you. So if you could give one piece of life advice, and this could be about your craft, about body positivity, about anything that you want that will help women live fiercer, happier, and healthier, what would it be?
Okay. This is going to be explicit.
Do it. Go for it. I love explicit.
So if you have children, just
you're listening to this in the car. This is where our kids
put earmuffs. Stop giving a fuck about what other people think.
I love it. I love it.
It's the big one.
I think it's definitely something that I know in my life I'm still trying to do, but
so am I. It's a constant battle, but I think my life advice.
No, and I think you couldn't have said it any better with the fuck included. Okay, well, thank you so much, Summer. I'm so pumped you were with us today. And again, if you want more information on Summer, check out her website, summerinnan.com or thebodyimagecoach.com. And we will definitely be chatting again soon.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.